Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
Once like a bird in prison I dwell, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, He set me free. He set me free, yes, He set me free, and He broke the bonds of prison for me. To see, for glory to God, He set me free. On the second, now I am climbing higher each day. Darkness of night has drifted away. My feet are planted on higher ground, and glory to God, I'm homeward bound. He set me free, yes, He set me free, and He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. For glory to God, He set me free. On the last, goodbye to sin and things that confound. Not of the world shall turn me around. Daily I'm working, I'm praying to, and glory to God I'm going through. He set me free, He set me free, and He broke the bonds of prison for me. Well, I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. For glory, He set, sing it again now. He set me free, He set me free, and He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. For glory to God, He set me free. How many knows you're free?
Just a child, I heard the beautiful story. How you loved me so that you died on Calvary. Though I claimed you way back then as Lord Almighty, things haven't changed. My love's still the same. You're still Lord to me. You're still Lord, you're still my Father. In little or much, I still feel your touch. You're still Lord. My Father, you'll always be mine for all the time. You're still Lord. Some have called you Lord, but now they other. To worldly things their heart has pledged its loyalty. Just as before, but now even more, you're still Lord to me. You're still Lord. You're still my Father. I still feel your touch. You're still Lord. You're still Lord. You're still my Father. Always be mine for all the time. You're still
Praise the Lord. Good morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It definitely is. Today we're going to talk about the four precious shalls in the Bible. If you have your Bible, you can turn to 1 Corinthians verse 15. I won't keep you too terribly long today. I'm buttoning my coat up. I'm not going to lie to you. It's tighter than it was last week. I promise you that. We have been on the run the last 3 days, and Lisa and I hadn't had time to eat until 9 and 10 o'clock at night, and then you roll over and you go to bed, and all of it goes straight to my hips. So, oh, praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. We serve a Lord, and I use this word very carefully and not irreverently, but we truly serve an awesome Lord and Savior. Can't hardly put my mind around him or his ways. If you think you've got the Lord figured out, I promise you, he'll surprise you real soon. We go through the battles of this world, and they're not very pleasant many times, as we've discussed hundreds or even thousands of times across this holy desk. As we were singing about the Lord and enjoying the worship, my mind just reflected even over the last month over the battles that various ones have had in different ways, and deaths alone. I think it was 4 weekends ago we preached a funeral, and the following weekend we preached another funeral. And for every funeral, there's those that are weeping and wounded, bearing the burden of death of a loved one or a friend. And then we received a phone call, I think it was Tuesday, I believe it was, and a man that I ministered to over a decade ago had passed away, and I was asked to come and to preach his funeral. So Lisa and I got in the car Thursday night and drove to Helser, South Carolina, the big city of Helser, population 25. It's a little better than that, but not much. And when we got there, we found hurting people, mourning, deprived and depressed. So life is not easy, is it? Next day, Friday, we buried this gentleman. It was difficult. If it weren't for the little victories that we have in life, at times life would be depressing, and some would even say horrible. It was just a couple weeks ago, I believe now, that we received a phone call that the Hicks had been in a bad accident. And Tracy's mom has been battling health issues over being hit so hard from behind that their car seats broke, and when they came to, they were laying in the back seat of the automobile. It's horrific times in this world, is it not? But there's some shalls that make a difference. I look across the congregation, and I see those with physical ailments. Our brother with a tumor came down and prayed with Pastor Payne. I see ailments. Denise getting a report last week that they found something else in another part of her body. It's ailments, sicknesses. I'll look out and see Sister over there with a brand new knee. What happened to the old one? It wore out and fell apart. That's what happened to it. And Brother Anthony's glad she's getting the old one replaced because he sure enjoys her cooking. And you can look at Brother Anthony and tell he enjoys her cooking. And apparently she enjoys cooking it, I tell you. But life throws some funny things at you your way. Sicknesses and death, but praise be to God. In 1 Corinthians 15, we can look in verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but shall all be changed. This is speaking of the moment when the Lord Jesus Christ appears and takes his saints to the next level or into the clouds. We're going to be changed. Pastor Payne, the hip will no longer hurt. The back will no longer be a problem for me or anyone else. Coming in and out of here, I notice a few using the cane. Well, I want to say that there's not going to be a cane one in heaven. Why is that? Because we are going to be changed. Remember the day when you had a full head of hair? Just think when you get to heaven, man. The rapture comes and the toupee is going to hit the ground. And by the time you're in the clouds, you'll have your glorified hair. Amen. Amen, brother. There are some promises and some shalls that we have promised to us through the Word of God for those that love the Lord, those that have accepted Him as their Lord and Savior. There's some shalls that we can take hold on. I'm looking forward to having a changed body. I'm looking forward of standing up and not grunting. I'm looking forward that if I were to have an MRI when I get to heaven, everything will be perfect in that old back of mine. We are going to be changed, ladies and gentlemen. Now, it goes deeper than this, but can I just go ahead and share another scripture with you since we're right here? In verse 54, so when the corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Because that day there will be no more death for the Christian. Now, I'm not understand that statement as some sidebars to it. There's the tribulational period and the martyrs. I understand that. But I'm talking about those that go up in the rapture. Death has ended for them. And verse 55 asks the question, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And I hope you will be patient with me. I want to illustrate that with an illustration I believe I've used before. Maybe not, but I believe I have. There was a man driving down the road one day on a summer's day. The windows were rolled down. And his little boy was sitting in the back seat on the passenger side. And all of a sudden, the little fella started screaming and said, Dad, Dad, there's a bee in the car. There's a bee in the car. It's going to sting me. And that daddy followed that bee out of the corner of his eye. And all of a sudden, the daddy turned around and with a swipe of the hand, grabbed that bee out of midair. And you know what happened? That bee sunk that stinger deep into the middle of the hand of that daddy. That dad then let that bee go and it flew away and was gone. I want to say to you one day, the sting of death was flying around our heads. But God the Father sent God the Son and He took the sting of death right through the palms of His hands and nailed Him to a tree called Calvary's tree so we would never have to know the sting of death. We that are left behind when someone passes, now that's a little sting, is it not? But those that have the Lord in their heart know not the sting. They get up out of a body that is broken and beaten and walk into eternal life, change forever and forever. The Bible says, but we shall all be changed. Not one of us will be missed according to the Word of God. Then over in 1 Peter, you don't have to turn with me, but if you want to, that's okay as well. Over in 1 Peter chapter 5, we find something that I believe is quite interesting. We find another shall. A precious shall that we can lock on, we can embrace, we can lean into. In verse 4, 1 Peter chapter 5, and when the chief shepherd shall appear. Who's the chief shepherd? You know him if you're saved. The chief shepherd shall appear. Ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. I'm looking forward to the day that we can receive the crown of glory that will never, ever, ever rust, nor the moths cannot eat, but it will be forever. Now, here is the cool part about this, is the Bible doesn't just say there'll be a crown of glory and then leave you hanging. The Bible instructs us and shares with us how we can build, if I may say, the crown of glory. Number one, you've got to be born again. That's the first thing. But as a born-again Christian, in verse 2, it says, speaking of the elders, to feed the flock of God, which is among you, then taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Ladies and gentlemen, this applies to every one of us. We are to feed, embrace, and bear ye one another's burdens. That is the commandment of God. That is the construction, if I may say, of our crown of glory. And it says not to be constrained into these things, but Christians, we should do these things. We should serve willingly. The preacher shouldn't have to tap you on the shoulder. The nominating committee shouldn't have to beg you. It should be something that we do willingly. The Bible says that, not Alton Midget, but to serve. So the Bible just doesn't say that we can enjoy a crown of glory one day. No, although it will be a glory, we will be in a glorified body, and you could say that's that crown of glory. But I believe a literal crown or crowns that we will lay at the feet of Jesus. Now, it tells us to do this willingly. And money should not even be an issue. It shouldn't be, the church has asked me to do this. Well, how much are you going to give me for it? Well, ladies and gentlemen, that shouldn't be. It should be of ready mind, the Bible says. If the opportunity opens, we should be ready and willing to move forward and do something for the Lord. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but examples to the flock. It is my duty to be an example to the flock, ladies and gentlemen, but it is your duty as well. If it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. You've heard that before. Just because do you realize that when we were born into the world, we did not have reverend stamped on our feet? There had to be a submission somewhere in our life between us. God has given us a free will, and that isn't just for the reverends or the paid staff. It is for each and every one of us in this room that we should serve willingly and to be an example to those around us. Then in verse 5, it says, likewise, ye younger, hey teenagers, listen to this, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with what? Humility. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. How do we do that? Verse 7, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Then in verse 8, he tells us to do two things. Be sober and to be vigilant. Now, to be sober, I think, is pretty easily understood. To be vigilant is to stand on guard. So be sober, be sharp, but then take the defensive and offensive stance. Ladies and gentlemen, God has prepared for us a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Then we see one more shall. And there's this one and one other. And then we'll be going along, moving along toward the restaurants and the house and so forth. But in 1 John, we see that we shall be like him. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Did you hear that? In other words, Christians, we haven't seen anything yet. And it doth not appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We have three shalls. Number one, we see that he shall appear. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a promise of God. This is a promise of his word. Our Lord Jesus one day will split the eastern sky, and yes, he shall, will, without a doubt, appear to this world. Then we shall be like him. Now, I thank the Lord that we shall be healed when we get to heaven, that we'll have a new body and so forth, and all that's neat, groovy, and fantastic. But I want to say to you, what I like is that we shall, will, without a doubt, there's no if, ands, or buts, but we shall be like him. Why is that so important? Well, because we are nasty. That's why that's so important. We are sinners, saved by the grace of God. That is in verse 2, where we shall be like him. Now, that within itself you might not think much about, but when you flip the page or you look in verse 5, we find out something, a proclamation concerning our Lord. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins. Now listen, and in him is no sin. That's why I'm excited that one day we will be like Jesus. Not only will we have a healed body and a healed mind and a healed emotional situation and all that's wonderful, but just think, this sin nature that we have one day will be dead. I like it. I'm tired of burying people, folks. Death constantly around us. We left the funeral Friday afternoon. I guess it was by the time we were finished, about 4 o'clock-ish. And we went to a home of a little widow lady, Peggy Norris. I served with her husband, Pastor James Norris, for 6 years. And I went and she gave me dozens and maybe hundreds of books of his. I walked in the house and it was eerie because he wasn't there. And I was used to him sitting in the chair when you walk in. And it was a little eerie. It was a little weird. Still surrounded by death. Left her house, drove 20 minutes south into a southern part of Anderson, and met with 4 people. One of them was 91 years old. 2 of them was 86 years old. And one of them was 79 years old. And every one of them said, Pastor, you know we want you to preach our funeral. I'm so glad that death will be dead. Why? Because we will be like him. And if the wages of sin is death, The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we shall be like Him, living eternity, eternally perfect. Now, I have another shall I want to share with you. Over in John 16, He says this, "And ye now therefore have sorrow." The Lord Jesus is telling the disciples that, like a woman that's given birth, in verse 21, I'll just read it. "A woman, when she is in travail, have sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born unto the world." In other words, and men, now I know some of you older guys may not know this because they didn't let you in the room when those kids were born years ago. But someone that's my age and younger, no, you get to see the horrors of a woman bringing somebody else into the world. My wife is a little thing. And in those days, she was even more little. But I want to say this. She grabbed my hand, and God is my witness, I thought she was breaking it. And that didn't just happen once, but it happened twice. She broke my hand because of the pain and the agony and the distress. She grabbed me by my collar and said, "Get it out of me." And likewise, we have pain and distress and aggravations and hurts and horrors, but it is going to come to an end. Because it says, "And ye now therefore have sorrow." If we serve God, we are going to have sorrow. This thing of service is not easy. This thing of dedicating our lives to the things of Christ is not a cakewalk. It is a time. And if you're doing anything for God, you will have sorrow. I promise you that. Satan will be sure of it, because if he can just make you sorrowful enough to make you walk away, then he doesn't have to kill you to win. All he had to do was stop you. Now here it is. "And ye know now therefore, have sorrow, but I will see you again." That's Jesus saying, "I'm coming back, boys. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." We're going to heaven. We're going to see Jesus. And the heartache and the pain and the suffering and the torture of this world will be gone forever, forever and ever and ever, and we will remember it no more. That's where we are. That we're poised to strike. Years ago, before I messed my back up and I was able to fight a little bit, I mean in a controlled environment, I don't mean street fighting. I didn't run out street fighting. But you are poised to strike. You be in your stance and crouch down, and you're poised to strike. You're poised to hit the other guy or girl. It didn't matter. They were trying to take your head off. You kicked them before they could kick you. And ladies and gentlemen, there was a poise. There was an intention to strike. I want to say to you that we are poised to see the Lord come. And when He does, or maybe I should say He's poised. He's ready to strike. I don't know when. It might be a year. It could be 10 years. I do not know. But I do know, according to the Word of God, and I believe the Word of God, Jesus is coming again. And when it happens, we shall be changed. Question. Do you know the Lord is your Savior? If the Lord were to return, if He were to come back, like He told the disciples, when I see you again, He wasn't talking about after the resurrection. He was talking about His, what we refer to as the second coming. It's going to be okay. I was preaching the funeral of Van Williams Friday. And as I'm preaching the funeral of Van Williams, I remembered preaching Van Williams' wife's funeral 12 years ago. And what a blessing that over here there was family crying, and over here there's friends crying, and people were sniffling, and that's okay. But to think about the fact that Van had stepped over the threshold of eternity, and Mrs. Williams, a godly woman, was standing there waiting on him. I know, according to the Word of God, that the pain and the suffering and everything that he had gone through in life had dissipated. He didn't even think about that anymore. Van couldn't even walk the last 3, 4, 5 months of his life. He couldn't even stand up. This is a man that was always strong, able to go here and there. Couldn't even stand up. But when he stepped over that threshold, it never even crossed his mind. I want to say, Christians, we've got precious shalls promised us in the Word of God. And we can have peace in knowing that. Do you know the Lord today is your Savior? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Do you know the Lord is your personal Savior today? If He were to return to take His children home, would you be one of those children? Or would you be left behind? If something horrible happened, whether by instance or disease or any way possible, but death came knocking on your door, would you be ready to meet the Lord? See, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I don't understand everything about the Lord, but by faith, I believe He sent His Son to die for you and me. And by faith, one day when I was just a young boy, 6 years old, I asked by faith, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save me from my sin. And God was true to His word, and He came into the heart of a little boy. My question to you, do you have Him in your heart? Have you received the Lord as your personal Savior? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is why He came. That is why He died. He died nailing your sins to the tree. Say, preacher, I think if I can just get baptized, I'll be okay. No. If baptism was a way to heaven, the thief on the cross cross would be in hell today. Because the thief on the cross didn't have time to be baptized by water. Nope. Jesus looked at the thief that confessed him and said, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." Baptism has nothing to do with it. Our works. The Bible says that our righteousness, our works, is as filthy rags. How will a righteous God accept filthiness? The answer is those that have submitted themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ and has had the blood of Christ spilled on their sins. The sprinkling of the blood, ladies and gentlemen, is the way of salvation. And don't let anyone tell you differently. Let's all stand. You come as the Lord has laid on your heart.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that